Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
What we do.
Here's John Williams.
We also have nice thoughts. I'll get to some of those in just a minute. It's 109 White Sox baseball here on WGN in 51 minutes.
Lord have mercy.
They're not playing at home today. That is, not in Chicago. They're out in sunny Arizona, where presumably it's not doing this. That'll be nice on the radio. Literally, just hearing, as I've said many times now, the crack of a bat and sunshine and a couple folks chatting about a baseball game, trying to pronounce the names of young men who may or may not make the squad. I'll take that on a gray, cold Chicago day. We'll do that at 2 o'clock here on WGN Radio. A quick shout-out to one of our listeners, Margie Silverman, listens all of the time. Margie, we hear you're not doing real well, but we know that you're a great person. We love you, and thank you for listening as much as you do. Margie Silverman is a WGN listener, and we wish her well today. Sorry to hear she's a little under the weather, but really glad that she's on board every day. It's 110. By the way, Steve Bertrand's back from a trip and is looking tanned, rested, and ready. You heard him earlier, of course, today. It's my first chance, really, to say hi to Steve. Welcome back, Mr. Bertrand.
Thank you very much, John Williams.
It was one of those work and volunteer and vacation kind of getaways.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it work. I mean, it was really tiring, but it was so, I brought so much back from the people who we helped. You know, we were fitting people with eyeglasses, and I actually was the guy in the wall giving people exams, like the charts.
Do you speak Spanish?
You know, a little bit, but just enough to say, you know, con su mano, cover your eye, and, you know, what do you see? And
because what if they say, well, you know, I think it's a duck, or, and you go, well, it's actually a goose, but you don't speak Mexican, you don't speak Spanish, so
right.
I would think that would be difficult.
Well, we figured out the words, you know, and there's this one guy who talked to me, and he's speaking Spanish rapid fire to me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. And he's like, no, it's okay. And he keeps talking. I interrupt again. I said, I just don't speak Spanish. He goes, no, it's okay. Stay with me. So like a minute or two into the story, he looks at me, puts his hand on my shoulder. He says, so let's just go have one beer. And then he goes back into his story. So apparently the whole story was about how he learned to say, let's go have a beer or something. I don't know. But you know, there was just such honor, and these people were lined up, and they would wait for 6 hours for a chance to get reading glasses or the chance of prescription glasses, even sunglasses. It was a remarkable thing to do.
We take for granted that I could run over to that Walgreens I'm looking at across the street, and there's another one over there.
Right.
And for about $3 or $5, buy some cheater glasses, and I'd be able to read. I mean,
and that's what just is not available.
You said that some of those paramilitary men that are walking around with,
yeah, the guys with the big guns.
Yeah.
I was giving them eye tests.
I want guys with machine guns to be really good at vision. I want them to have really good vision.
Right. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I know their numbers.
Yeah. God, what a nice moment, though, when you give somebody glasses and they're able to see better again.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you cry?
There was a lot of tears going on, yeah.
I'll bet.
Just, you know, these just old ladies, you know, thanking us for traveling as far as we did. But, you know, this is only the first trip I've ever done. The people at iCare International do these trips all the time.
iCare International. Are these glasses from the Lions clubs?
From Lions, Rotarians, optometrists. You know, there are a lot of places. That's the thing I want to stress. A lot of places to donate glasses and just do it. And maybe they won't help people there, but they'll help people somewhere else. And,
Yeah. You
know, it's just a great way to change someone's life. And it's just, those things are just sitting around your house.
That's it. Think about your house. You've got glasses that don't work for you anymore or that you don't want anymore. You have, by the way, cell phones too. And women's shelters will take cell phones, and a lot of places will take your eyeglasses, and people would benefit. You got to get that clutter out of your world anyway. Just make the effort.
iCareInternational.org is the website, with I with an I, the letter I.
Okay. I-C-A-R-E, iCareInternational.org.
Right.
Welcome back, Steve Bertrand. Not much happened while you were gone.
No. It was nice to be away from my phone for a while.
Wasn't it, though?
My
Wasn't
Twitter it? Feed was in Espanol. It was such a relief.
Well, I just to catch you up a little bit, Steve, not that you need me right now. I know you've been working, but you know this Nunberg guy who said that he would go to jail rather than testify against his colleagues in the White House?
I never heard of him until he was on every TV show that exists.
I didn't either. And he said, oh, you can put me in jail. Go ahead, put me in jail. And then he said, you know what? Actually, I think I'll testify. As it turns out, I think I'm okay to testify. And the questions that he was asked was like, why are you protecting the president or members of his staff? And he said, I'm not protecting them, but I know that they're going to try and get the goods on me and try and get me to say something that conflicts with something somebody else has said, and I'm not going to help out. And in general, my attitude about that is, if you've done nothing wrong or don't think they've done anything wrong, then the truth should set you free. Just tell them the truth. But he was on TV saying, well, there's no collusion, the way the president and Kellyanne Conway have, the way Sarah Sanders and so many people have. And I have something to say about the sentence, there is no collusion. First, let's just listen to some highlights of people who have said it over the years. Here's Kellyanne Conway saying not that long ago, there's no collusion.
Collusion? No, we don't have that yet.
We don't have that yet. She shouldn't have said yet. Here's President Donald Trump saying the one zillionth time, there's no collusion.
There was absolutely no collusion.
Here's that Nunberg guy himself, and he said on CNN, look, I don't want them to ask me questions because there's no collusion.
If Vladimir Putin is too smart to collude with Donald Trump.
There's no collusion. That, to me, this whole there is no collusion sentence is the same as if you came up to somebody suspected a bank robbery and they would say, no, I didn't do the bank robbery. Maybe there was no bank robbery at all, and therefore I don't have to answer your questions. Isn't kind of due process where we say, listen, we know you don't think so. We're not sure. So we're going to ask you some questions and do an investigation, and then we may decide that, in fact, there's no collusion. We may decide otherwise. But here's one thing for sure right now. You don't get to be the decider. The last person on earth who should have an actionable opinion about this is Donald Trump, because it's his campaign that they're investigating. You can't come up to somebody and say, hey, do you think that you're guilty of a crime? And they'll go, no. And they say, oh, well, then, okay, our bad, my bad. And you walk away. That's not what you do. So if Kellyanne Conway is his spokesperson and she emphatically says over and over again, there's no collusion, that's not compelling. When this Nunberg guy says, I'm not going to cooperate with the House or Senate investigation into this because there's no collusion, maybe it's Mueller that wants to call him, whatever. That's not a real important sentence. There's no collusion. You don't get to decide that. They do. And by the way, the they isn't just Robert Mueller, right? I mean, if it's an impeachment proceeding, then it's the House and the Senate. And if it's a criminal investigation, then a grand jury and a judge or a jury would decide. So even if they determined that there was collusion, even that isn't the end of the game. Then they're going to say, well, we think there is. These are the charges. And then you take the appropriate action. You have a trial or you have an impeachment proceeding. But to just throw up your hands and say, well, there's no collusion, therefore I won't talk, or they should stop, is a silly sentence. That's a point with no point. There's no collusion. It's like asking me, hey, John, well, we think you robbed a bank. Did you rob a bank? And I go, no, I didn't rob a bank. They don't walk away. They say, well, as it turns out, we've got security camera footage of you walking into the bank about the same time. And you don't normally wear a bandana over your mouth, but son of a gun, there's one. Maybe that's where it is. It's 117. Also, while you were gone, Steve, we were talking about yesterday how some currency you can use and some stores will take currency and some won't.
Yeah, I was driving.
You heard that?
I listened to that. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Your befuddlement.
I went to Argo today and I asked them, I'm like, is this true? Not that I didn't believe you,
no,
but
I just
wanted to check.
That's a new policy. The Argo in our building does not take cash.
Did you say it like this, Violetta? Is it true that you're a 21st century business?
No.
It says on my currency that this note is valid tender for any obligations or something like that. It's American money. They have to take the American money.
Legal tender.
Legal tender. Thank you.
Grandpa, you want your tea or not?
There's 18 people in line looking at their watches. Pardon me, looking at their phones. Nobody looks at a watch anymore.
It's a nice accessory, though.
I know.
I was just going to say the same thing.
I wonder what percentage of the people now are wearing them just because they look good rather than they really need them to check the time. You've seen people reach into their pocket to get their phone to see what time it is when they've got a wristwatch on and they could just look during the process. But I digress. So Ryan told us yesterday, he said, that reminds me of a scene from West Wing, where they talked about whether or not you can use pennies in tollways, and Illinois is the only state in the union that allows pennies in the toll baskets. I went back to find the audio. And in the process, I did what you will do if you ever go back and listen to West Wing episodes, or watch them, of course. And that is, you'll discover how amazingly relevant the dialogue is on that show.
And clever.
Even today, they're talking about, like, this one episode where I found the chatter, it's episode 49, season 3, episode 5, where they talk about, it's called The War Room is the name of the episode, and it's where they talk about should you be able to put pennies in baskets and do they have value anymore anyway. But in that episode, they talked about whether or not you should lie to a grand jury, think no collusion. They talked about the gun debate because in that episode, a child was killed. Somebody had a gun and shot a child. And so they said, we need to reform gun legislation. And then the same arguments you and I are having today in 2002 or 5, whenever this episode aired, it was the same argument then. It's really fun to see how clever Tommy Schlamme and the rest of them were when they put that show together.
And how slow we are to fix anything.
I know. That's the frustration. You're watching this and you're going, holy cow, we haven't progressed. And the arguments, by the way, that they present on both sides are really good, but the liberal side always wins. So if you're a Democrat, you just love this show to pieces. If you're not, I don't know what your show is. You really don't have one. The show is also peppered with just all kinds of arcane facts that, when you look them up, are kind of true. I'll get to just one example in a minute. It's 121 on WGN. By the way, it's raining good outside right now. At least it's not snow, but it just started pouring in downtown Chicago, at least on Michigan Avenue. The rain's let up a little bit. Still got a decent sprinkle on Michigan Avenue downtown. I'm at 435 North Michigan Avenue in the Tribune Tower. We'll head out to Arizona in 35 minutes for White Sox baseball here on WGN. It's preseason baseball as the White Sox take on somebody. That's at 2 o'clock here on WGN. Do we know who the White Sox are
Brewers.
Playing?
Brewers.
It really doesn't matter.
It's a double local, the Brewers.
Oh, as they take on the dreaded Brewers of Milwaukee. It's coming up in now 34 minutes from Wolf on WGN. That over there, that over there. So I'm watching West Wing, right? And I'm learning about all of this cool stuff, you know. Really fast-paced, witty arguments that people in real life couldn't have. And if you had even a fraction of that, you'd give yourself a high five. You'd go, wow, was I clever to say that? So in the midst of all of this, they're talking about gun violence and taxes and tribunals and all sorts of fancy presidential government stuff.
But half of the stuff gets by you.
I know.
You're like, I know that was funny and clever, but now three other things were said and I'm not sure.
You really need to hit pause, either literally or mentally, to go, okay, so then.
But you're embarrassed to do that, so you're like, oh, yeah, I get it, keep going.
That's why it's so good to go back and watch. I mean, if, you know, you're a fan of that, if you like the stuff they're saying, this stuff is just gold. So here's West Wing cut number one, Elif. It's a congressional aide is talking to Sam, the presidential aide. This congressman wants them to eliminate the pennies, and Sam, representing the president, doesn't exactly understand why.
He's just looking for the president's support on a bill that he'll be sponsoring.
What's it called?
It's called the Legal Tender Modernization Act.
Which provides for?
The elimination of the penny.
I'm sorry?
It would permanently halt production of the penny.
Why?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Last year, the U.S. Mint cut 14 billion pennies and shipped them off to the Federal Reserve, which dumped them in our laps. They're worthless.
Well, they're actually worth 1 cent.
The dollar has a buying power today that the quarter had 30 years ago. The penny's buying power shrunk to nothing.
Well, that's not true. You can get yourself a gumball.
No, you can't. I'm going to need to give the congressman a good reason why the White House won't support the bill if they won't support the bill.
So there you go. If they want the congressman's support for the bill the president wants, then the president needs to support this bill. And they go, well, that's a ridiculous thing. Really, do we have to do that? And he says, well, if you can't give us the support, you got to give me a reason to go back to my boss and tell him why. And that argument, that thread goes throughout the rest of the episode. So now here's Sam either trying to find support for the bill or a reason not to support the bill. He talks to his colleague Josh about why pennies are a good or bad idea.
Track he wants two. To abolish the penny? He doesn't want to abolish it as much as he wants to give his boss a reason why we can't.
Well, it's stupid.
Yeah, the thing is, it isn't really.
Really?
Turns out the majority of pennies don't circulate. They go in jars, sock drawers. 2/3 of the pennies produced in the last 30 years have dropped out of circulation.
You've been reading about this?
It's interesting.
No, it's not.
The Mint gets letters with pennies taped on notebook paper, letters from citizens who found the pennies on the street and mailed them back to the Treasury to help pay down the debt.
It's almost hard to believe that plan hasn't worked.
It's also bad for the environment. Production requires the mining of millions of tons of copper and zinc each year.
Zinc?
In 1982, they changed the composition to 97.5% zinc and only 2.5% copper.
Sam.
Sam, you're starting to bug me now, right? But he comes around. This is cut number 3. Here's more of that conversation later in that same episode.
What can I do for you today? How can I help you out?
You can give me a good reason why the White House can't support the elimination of the penny.
This is the legal tender Huckleberry bill?
Modernization bill, yeah.
Can't support it because it'll never get to the floor.
Why not?
Where's the Speaker of the House from?
He's from Illinois, which, by the way, is the only state where you can put pennies in a toll machine. Why is that, do you suppose? It's because Lincoln's from Illinois. And so is the Speaker.
Yes.
Well, that's a good reason. Well, it's a dumb reason, but it's good enough, right?
Denny Hastert was the Speaker of the House at the time. And they're telling you that the reason they don't eliminate the pennies is because the Speaker won't bring it up because he's from Illinois and he loves seeing the land of his state on currency. I don't know if that's true, but at least everything did line up nicely. One thing you missed while you were gone, Steve, was the president and the first family, really. I mean, Ivanka was there, Melania was there, the Pences were there, the Sessions were there. They were at the Gridiron Club Saturday night.
Yeah.
We don't have any audio or video because I guess they don't do that. It's not like the White House press correspondents' dinner. So there's President Trump, and he is telling jokes, and people are making jokes about him. There is a text-to-audio service, though, that Associated Press and other news agencies have. So sometimes when they don't have audio, they simply give you the sort of digitized version of it being read to you so that at least you can hear it. People like to see and hear things these days. So we do have some of President Trump's jokes from the Gridiron Dinner.
Lately, my apprentice Pence is showing a particularly keen interest in the news these days. He wakes up every morning and asks, "Has he been impeached yet?" I don't like that.
He sounds different.
He does. I don't know how you get a digitized voice to do Donald Trump. Do number 3 there, Aleph. Just, Steve, because I know you're laughing so hard, you really can't talk right now.
Well, did I tell you I was stuck in traffic and heard you yesterday?
So here's another one of those jokes from the Gridiron Dinner.
Who's going to be the next to leave? Steve Miller or Melania? That's terrible. But you love me, right, honey? By the way, she has been an incredible first lady. Melania is having a good time in the White House. She can finally claim me as an adult dependent.
So it's just,
that's pretty funny.
I don't know. I was like, that's so funny because, you know, we all have our suspicions about what the relationship is like between the president and the first lady. So for him to go there, particularly when he's not very adept at that sort of thing, maybe it was working. Maybe it was hilarious or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I just don't know. I wanted to be a fly on the wall or a person in a seat.
Do you think he'll ever board a plane now without her by his side again?
Well, over the weekend he didn't.
Oh, that's what I mean. I saw that video.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I don't know.
It was I don't care who you are, what your politics are. That's marriage bad.
But maybe she's in the SUV going, you know what? You go. I'm not coming out with you. Maybe it's like that. I don't know how they repair this thing, but, you know, maybe we could get Jared after he solves the Middle East peace crisis. Maybe he can work on the first family's marriage.
Again, you're assuming things that You know?
Really? You think I'm reading that room wrong? I think I'm in pretty safe ground here. I think there's friction in the White House. You don't believe that?
Well, I don't think a lot. I mean, just because we're learning about his behavior doesn't mean it would be new to her.
Right.
Right?
And but it doesn't so mean she married likes the it. Guy. Doesn't mean she likes
it. I know, but she's been married to him for quite a while now.
But it's different to have it on the open scale where everyone can judge it. When you can keep things on the down low, maybe in a marriage, if millions of people aren't watching.
Right. So we've come to this agreement, and it's not perfect, but we've agreed to live our lives this way, and it's okay. We each have,
for us.
Right. We each get something out of this, so it's good. But now here's the deal. When the whole world's watching, I don't want you trying to hold my hand, or I do want you to wait for me when we get out of the SUV. And I know that's not how we roll, but that's how we roll now. And that message has not been communicated, one to the other. You know, either he needs to say no or she needs to say, I don't know how they fix it. But here's what happens. People that are completely removed from it, like me, like you, are judging it, and it looks bad. So you'd think the two of them, you know, I don't know who's making the decision to sort of keep the distance between the two of them, but you think the two of them would agree that it would be in their mutual interest to go ahead and feign a little more civility or affection. That would work. On Monday, United Airlines shelved plans to replace quarterly employee bonuses with a $100,000 lottery prize. The lottery, here's what the United was going to do. They announced this on Friday. They said, okay, to their 90,000 employees, rather than giving you all bonuses, what we're going to do is do a lottery, and some one person, randomly chosen, will win $100,000, and then maybe 1,300 more of you will be randomly selected to get $2,000 or $5,000 checks. Huh? Who's in?
What were they thinking?
And then 50 vacation packages to Hawaii and 10 brand new cars. Mercedes Benzes. So 10 plus 50 plus 1,300 plus 1. So about 1,400 people would get swell prizes, and the remainder of the 90,000 would get no bonus this year.
Who did the same work.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not like it's merit-based.
If you get a Mercedes, it's not because you did better than the person who got nothing.
Yeah.
Your name was drawn, right? They weren't getting the
you're right.
The 14 prizes, 100 weren't going to the top 1,400.
No, they weren't.
So you could have done a better job than me, and right. I could have had a new car.
I could have been the reason we were profitable this year, and you got the Mercedes.
Right.
And I know that you punched in late.
And talked about the boss when she left the room.
Here's a spokesperson from United who didn't like his job this day. Our intention was to introduce a better, more exciting program, but we misjudged how these changes would be received by many of you. We are pressing the pause button. There you go. We are pressing the pause button. Experts on compensation. This is at money.cnn.com. Experts on compensation and workplace culture say they have never heard of a company of United size and stature trying this kind of a lottery program. Said one CEO of a staffing and recruiting firm, it's very amateurish. United is negotiating, by the way, a new contract with its pilots. Okay, pilots, here's the deal. We got about 10,000 of you. Five of you are going to get golf carts with brand new Ping Xing golf clubs. The rest of you won't get anything. That's,
right.
That's not going to fly.
And it just occurred to me that some of those prizes were free airline tickets.
Were right? They really?
Well, I mean, you said vacation packages.
Yeah, that's right.
They can fly there for free anyway. They work for the airline.
90. I could see if they said, hey, listen, WGN Radio, you got 100 employees. Say we got about 100 employees. We don't even have that many, I don't think. But if they said 10 of you are going to get Mercedes, trips, or $100,000, and 90, 1 in 10 chance, you might be okay with that. That might be exciting. That might be kind of fun.
No way.
50%, 50-50. Steve, you got a 50% chance of a new car.
I would rather take a half a car and everyone share something equally.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
no, I think you're right.
Because then you've got winners who, again, you did the same thing as the loser.
So how do you even get a bonus, though? Does everyone get a bonus?
Evidently. I mean, well, all those people that got the $1,000 bonuses, we remember, Violetta, we took calls from people and folks were just getting checks lines in their pay.
If divisions of United had probably, you know, meet passenger requirements or on-time requirements or the company as a whole qualifies, and there's a bonus program.
Right. Yeah, sure. I think my brother works for a company, and if the company hits a certain mark, then depending on where you are in the company, you know, I might get $5,000, you might get $4,000 because you're a vice president and I'm a mid-level manager, right? But they have it all laid out. You can tell Violetta and I have never received a bonus.
Apparently.
Before.
How do people get these bonuses?
What is this thing bonus? What bonus you get? I don't even know how to use it in a sentence.
I get complimented sometimes.
Yeah, here's your bonus.
Yeah, you're doing really good.
I like your boots. Okay, next. That's what they do. The other 80,000 employees are going to line up and the managers will think of nice things to say about them. I love what you're doing with your hair. Steve, I understand your kids are on the honor roll, and they just all walk through. There's your bonus. John, why not have the lottery and give bonuses? You could do both. Well, that's the thing. Here's what happens have you ever been to a birthday party or given a gift, and it's 50 lottery tickets? I've been to events where somebody gives somebody as a stocking stuffer, or in the kid's birthday card, grandma gave him 10 lotto tickets and they could win a lot of money. You know, that's kind of a fun thing to do. But as part of your employee compensation, John, the management listened to the outrage from UA employees and has put a pause on the new bonus program. All right, props to them. But really, how did that get out of the room to begin with? You had a bunch of people sitting around with clipboards and they came up with this and said this would be a good idea. This is where they should just call me. Hey, John, we got 90,000 people here. Because doesn't it sound like this? What do you think the motivation, Steve, or Violetta is? Why do you think United did this? Why would they offer to a very few employees a very nice prize rather than a bonus to all the employees?
I would imagine it's cheaper.
Yeah. And maybe they had an extra car laying around.
Right. I know. That's what it looks like. It just looks like, look, if things are that bad, don't give anybody a Mercedes, because all that does is...
At Mercedes, you're saying, what? What? I work hard, and I have to fly United?
That's Volkswagen.
Really, it just sows ill will. Now you've got 85,000 employees walking around going, all right, you got a ticket? Come on, move the line. You got 85,000 unhappy United Airlines employees now. Anybody could have seen this. How did they not?
By the way, I guess I was just on a United flight.
Yeah. How was the drink?
No, but Louis Lazar writes about this when he comes on with me from the Business Journal.
Yeah.
About how United's really working on their charm offensive.
Oh, yeah.
To be overly friendly and delightful.
I'm sure they are.
And they really were. I noticed it when I was on the flight and I told my wife, I'm like, yeah, they're really working on this.
You told your wife it was annoying you?
No.
Can you stop talking to me?
No.
Okay.
I think so many businesses are working so hard at that these days. Violetta, you're going to laugh at me again, but when I do face-to-face banking with human beings in banks, I am amazed. I've done it with Wells Fargo and Chase, and they are just so considerate. Hi, welcome. How are you?
Right.
Come on in. What can we do for you? Lois is going to be, she's worth the customer now. She'll be right with you. And I'm just cashing a check. You know, there's nothing special about my being there.
That's because those people, those bank tellers are like the cast of Castaway. They haven't seen humans in 6 months.
Come in, please. Hey, talk to us.
Have a sucker. We bought them 6 years ago.
Really. You know, they'd get a lot more foot traffic if they'd get rid of the dum-dums and get the great big pops, you know, the ones with
the
chocolate.
Yeah, but they don't want people chewing gum in their establishment.
I'm just saying. It's 1:49. All right, this is shocking, but we have phone calls. We'll get to them in a minute here on WGN. White Sox baseball, every regular season game. Boy, it'd be nice if we did some postseason games and some exhibition games here on WGN Radio this year, including a game against, I believe it's the Brewers, but I really don't care, in about 7 minutes and 43 seconds from woof. We'll talk about this tomorrow, maybe, because we just don't have a lot of time today, and I do want to talk to you about this bonus program that United had. But I'm asking you the following question, and we'll get into it tomorrow. Do you think Kellyanne Conway broke the law when she said this on CNN's New Day? It's against the law for a member of the White House or any federal employee to, in their official capacity, endorse a candidate or work for a candidate. So as a citizen, you can vote. And as a citizen, you can tell your neighbors, boy, I think candidate X or Y is good or bad. But you cannot advocate for them in your official capacity. That's especially perilous if you are, in fact, the White House spokesperson and you're being asked political questions. So here's Kellyanne Conway on CNN talking about Roy Moore and Big Luther when they had that runoff election in Alabama.
When the president endorsed Luther Strange shot up in the polls tremendously by double digits. When the president endorsed Roy Moore, when he started to talk about Doug Jones, the opponent here, which you still don't want to talk about, but the president does, Roy Moore took a lead in the polls again. Why is that? Because the president himself came out and said he doesn't want a liberal in the Senate. He doesn't want a liberal Democrat in the Senate. He wants a reliable vote for taxes, for life.
You'd rather have an accused child molester than a Democrat?
The president also said something else that you don't seem to ever want to reflect, which is the president said Roy Moore has denied those allegations, and the president said you have to take that into account too.
If you conclude that that conversation, and it goes on, and that was one of a few conversations, if you conclude that she was advocating for Roy Moore, then she broke the law. Federal crime, full stop, end, done. That's against the law. If you conclude that she was advocating for Roy Moore, you cannot do that in your official capacity as a White House spokesperson. I didn't know. Frankly, I saw that interview and I thought, yeah, well, this is how they feel. I'm sure the Obamas did it the other way. But you can't do what evidently she was doing. Now, the punishment phase is, if you, this is where it gets really fun, if it's determined that she was breaking the law, I believe the person who determines the punishment is the President of the United States. So it really maybe doesn't matter. I'm supposed to read this and then we'll take a quick call. The recent rain has been keeping the folks at PermaSeal really busy. Everyone with leaky basements, dead sump pump, or flooded crawl space needs their help. So while it's tempting to call somebody else for a quick fix, I want you to know PermaSeal is worth the wait. They offer permanent solutions with lifetime transferable warranties and a price assurance guarantee. Give them a call today, 1-800-421-SEAL. Their professional consultants will inspect your foundation inside and out and give you a free written estimate. There's no need to worry about playing let's make a deal at PermaSeal. They provide standardized pricing. You'll know you're getting the best value in the industry. 40 years now, Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana homeowners have trusted PermaSeal. Call 1-800-421-SEAL, 1-800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net. It's almost 1:56. Hey, Dave, this is John. We were talking about United Airlines, and you're on WGN.
Good afternoon, King John, and to all your subjects. A simple suggestion for United or any major corporation: give them a $1,000 bonus, but make it a real $1,000, and the company pays the taxes.
Oh, yeah, right, right. Because otherwise you lose a couple hundred bucks.
When you get a bonus, it's not what they – you don't get what they say they're giving you, because you're paying the taxes on it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Thank you for the call. And I got 30 seconds, but I wanted to let Ross jump in here. You're on WGN. What's up, Ross?
Not much, but my daughter works for United in Chicago, and they offered them that program, and they all said no. All the people in her group said no, because they all count on that money. It's not like it's just frivolous money, but they all count on that little bonus.
That's an interesting point. So this isn't fun and games. They need that money, and they won't get it almost certainly. The news is not next. White Sox baseball is on WGN.